The title of my message today, brethren, is Laying the Foundation. Brethren, life is like building a house. It takes time to develop. It takes attention to details. It takes a strong foundation to stand when a storm comes in your life. Now, let me ask a question. Has anyone here ever had a home built from the ground up? And what I mean is you've cleared the land, laid the foundation, four walls and a roof, and months later you've got this beautiful home by show of hands. Anyone? Quite a few. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you who laid a house from the ground up, how many of you celebrated when the foundation was laid? I mean, family, friends, barbecue, music, celebrated by show of hands. Not a one. Nobody. You know, brethren, this was a much celebrated event in biblical history. Just because the foundation was laid, they celebrated. They partied. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Ezra. Ezra 3. Ezra 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. This is the story. This story shows the Israelites joining Zerubbabel in rebuilding God's temple. And I want you to take notice how serious this event was to them. How they celebrated just because the foundation was laid. Ezra 3 and verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. They celebrated. You know, people don't shout and sing songs anymore because foundations are laid. Many of us take this important aspect of our home and of our life for granted. I mean, I did. And I'll share a personal story with you. In 1997, my wife and I, we bought our home in Rowlett, Texas. It was a beautiful home. Had great drive-up appeal. Three bedrooms, three bathrooms, a swimming pool. Everything we wanted in a home. It was the type of home that you wanted to get home to from work. To us. We hired a home inspector. He checked the normal stuff. But I failed to hire a structural engineer. Now, we did manage to enjoy the house for a few years plus before that fateful day. And I'll never forget that night. We were about to go to bed and we heard a loud noise like a gunshot. So I went to check everything out. I saw nothing unusual at the time. And the next morning, I went downstairs and I noticed the kitchen floor linoleum had a huge crack in it. And so I looked down in it and I saw that the concrete was cracked. And I followed it all the way down the hallway. Our foundation snapped. And that was the loud noise that we heard. The west side of our house dropped 6 inches. My son and I, Jeffrey, we used to putt. We would putt to the east side and watch the golf ball roll all the way to the west side. It took us 7 years fighting the insurance company before they made us whole. They blamed it on the swimming pool leaking for 7 years until they finally realized that it was the plumbing leak that they found initially. And then they made us whole. The point is, brethren, it doesn't matter how beautiful your home is. And I'm sure many of you have beautiful homes. But if the foundation is weak, if it becomes weak, it will fall. It will fall. You have to know that you're on solid ground. You have to do your due diligence to know that you're on solid ground. It's not just the physical foundation of your home that we have to be concerned about. Listen, God has laid the spiritual foundation for our lives. We have to know that our relationship with God is solid, grounded on God's word, so we don't fall. Foundations are very important in our lives and require attention to details and precision. You know, the late Henry Bacon was an American architect, and he was famous for various notable buildings. And he is best remembered for the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Henry began construction on the Lincoln Memorial in 1915. It took him 8 years to finish this project. He finished in 1922. And this was his final project before his death in 1924. I'll share some of the specs with you of this and details of this beautiful building. The retaining wall is 14 feet in height. The width of the east and west sides is 257 feet. The depth of the north and south sides is 187 feet. The foundation of the building has these huge piles, cylinders that are made of wood, concrete, or metal. And I think these are made of concrete. But they can extend between 44 to 65 feet from the original grade of bedrock. The height of the building is 79 feet 10 inches from the top of the foundation. The total height, including the foundation, is 169 to 192 feet, depending on the bedrock surface. You talk about attention to details. And my point is, brethren, you really can't build anything in life and expect it to last without a solid foundation. And the same is true with our spiritual life. I mean, we have to dig deep into God's word to know that we're on solid ground. We got to know. Let's read about another architect, the greatest architect that will ever be. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis. Genesis 1. Genesis 1. And verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the word created here means to construct or to build. And the writer of Genesis, Moses, here speaks in reference to creation that he, God, is the creator. He is the Alpha and Omega. Brethren, God is the master builder. He is the master architect. You didn't get here by yourself. You didn't create yourself. You did not design yourself. Although some people are redesigning themselves with facelifts and jobs, other jobs. But that's not original. That's not original. Listen, you are a divine design of God. God is your architect. I mean, look at me. God made me short, fat, and good looking. But I am an original. And here's what we have to understand. The architect does not drive a bulldozer. He does not use the hammer and nails. He builds the building using specs to determine how much weight that building can bear. Brethren, you are a designer's original. There is no one else with your blueprint. God designed you with unique specs. You were designed with a certain amount of strength, a certain amount of personality, and tenacity to determine what you are able to bear. So when God says you are able to bear it, it's not just a word of encouragement. This is a word from your Creator who knows your specs. He knows your foundation. He knows what you are designed to do and what you can bear because He created you. You know, brethren, in life, we have many choices that we can make. We can choose to live a Christian life built on the foundation of God's Word, or we can choose to live in the flesh, Satan's way. Which foundation are you building your life on? Which foundation am I building my life on? You know, Mr. Armstrong used to ask the question, why are we here? Brethren, why are we on this earth? Why are we sitting here in these seats today? Why? Brethren, we're here because God created us and He loves us. We're here because of God's promise. The promise He has for each one of us to give us a future and to give us hope. We're here to honor God. And we are here today in God's church to be built up, to be edified by God's word, so that we can be teachers and leaders in God's kingdom. That's why we are here. That's what our calling is all about. It's about encouraging one another. It's about building your life on the rock. So, brethren, how do we know if we are building a life built on God's Word? How do we know? How do we know if we are improving our relationship with God? How do we know? Brethren, you'll know because your prayer life will skyrocket. And the enemy will do everything in his power to distract you. But you just keep on praying. And you pray that your needs and that the needs of others are met. Whether it's healing, food, wisdom, or protection. You just keep on praying, brethren. You'll know because you will constantly find yourself praising and thanking God for simple things. Things that in the past you took for granted. Listen, walking with God is not going to be easy. God says that the path is a narrow gate. And not everyone will pass through it. That's what He says. Let's go to the book of Matthew, if you will. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, and let's begin reading in verse 13. Matthew 7 and verse 13. Christ says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." And let's drop down to verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" In verse 23, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Brethren, Christ is saying, not everyone claiming to be of Christ is of God. Not everyone who prophesies in the name of Christ is of God. Not everyone who casts out demons in the name of Christ is of God. Not everyone who does mighty works in the name of Christ is of God. Now, this is where it gets a bit scary, because how do we know if we are of Christ? You claim to be of Christ. I claim to be of Christ. But how do we know? Surely, brethren, you know that you are God's temple and that His Spirit lives in you. And together you are God's holy temple. And God will destroy anyone who destroys His temple. Those are His words. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And let's begin reading in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Brethren, God knows that we will face horrific storms. We will face deception in this lifetime. He knows. And when you think about the storms in your life, you probably think about dealing with difficulty or broken relationships, maybe financial crisis, maybe unpleasant and painful health problems. And the list could go on and on. But how do we keep standing? How do we keep standing in the storms of life? Let's take a look at a parable in the book of Matthew. This passage comes at the end of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is known for its practical instructions. Some of the most noted words of Christ are found in the book of Matthew. This is the sermon where Christ tells us specifically to be salt and light of the world, to avoid lust and anger. He tells us not to worry and to forgive, or we won't be forgiven. Not to judge others. He tells us not to do acts of righteousness for man's applause. And the next one, this is the one that gets me. Christ says, if someone slaps you on the other cheek, if someone slaps you, he says, turn the other cheek. Now, I don't know about you, brethren, but back in the day, back in my day, before I was called, if someone slapped me on one side, When I come back around, they better be gone. But I'm just saying that was back in the day. I don't think, I hope, I pray that that's not what I would do today. Or better yet, you pray for me, or better than that, don't slap me. You know, at the end of Christ's sermon, he was driving home an important point. You see, in order for us to benefit from his wisdom, we have to be like the man who built his house on the rock, rather than the one who built his house on sand. Let's go to the book of Matthew once again. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. And let's begin reading in verse 24. Matthew 7 and verse 24. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." And verse 26, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall." It's crystal clear, brethren. When a storm comes, a house built on sand is going to come down. It's going to fall. And when a storm comes in your life, if you're not grounded on God's word, you will fall. Everyone is building their future on some kind of foundation. Even though Christ says, "I am the way, the truth," some folks still don't build their lives on his word. Brethren, we have to make a decision. You will either build on a solid foundation, the word of God, or a weak foundation, the way of the world. If you notice in the Sermon on the Mount, this is a recurring theme in the Sermon on the Mount. You have to make a decision. Earlier in Scripture, we read where Christ says, "There are two gates, a broad way and a broad gate. A narrow road leading to a narrow gate. The broad way leads to destruction. The narrow way leads to life." You can only be on one or the other. You have to make a decision. This parable gives every indication, metaphorically speaking, that before the storm, these two houses looked identical. They both may have been attractive, spacious, comfortable, with great drive-up appeal. But on the surface, you really couldn't tell which house was built on sand or which was anchored deep to the rock. It was only when the storm hit that you could see the difference in the homes. It's also true that when other people are around us who claim to be Christians, it's impossible for us to tell who is genuine in their faith and who is not until a storm hits. And we know this to be true because we've probably seen this. Everybody sounds like a believer when times are good. But true faith shows up when we are called to trust God in tough times. This is when you get to see what a person's faith is really made of. Because The person who has a solid foundation built on God's word trusts God's wisdom when life is confusing. Relies on God's strength when they're weak. Relies on God's grace in times of personal failure. Runs to God rather than run away from God. This is where we need to be grounded. Christ says, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. So the first step is we have to hear his words. And that means we have a responsibility. A responsibility to expose ourselves to the truth. And we do this by reading the Bible, attending services, Bible studies, and by fellowshipping with people of like minds. It means we have to listen. It's not enough just to hear it. We have to listen and absorb and retain it and study it. This is how we get grounded in the Word of God. If we want to grow, we have to dig. We have to ask questions. We have to study. I mean, here's the thing. We have to act on the truth that we know and believe. It's not enough to know about God. It's not enough to know what God wants us to do. If we're going to build a solid foundation, a true relationship with God, we have to actually do what God wants us to do. We have to act on it. And the same principle stands with the construction of a building. It's not enough to know how to put up a wall or how or what the proper wire weight should be, or how deep the foundation should go, or how far apart the studs should be. You can, you know, knowing all of this isn't worth anything if you don't act on what you know. You can know all kinds of things about God, but it won't help if you don't do what he says. You can know that God wants to be priority in your life, but it's meaningless unless you act on it in your life. And the reality that we have to face is this. There are many people who are very knowledgeable about the Bible, about the Christian faith. But they're building their life on sand. They look good. They sound good. But when the storm comes, they will fall. They know the truth. They know how to appear Christian. But they're not doing what God tells them to do. And to some degree, brethren, all of us are like this. Every one of us have areas in our lives where we are not applying the truth. And we know that God, we know what God wants us to do, but we just don't do it. But here's the thing. If you are sincere in your faith, and in what you believe, if you are sincere, then you're working to eliminate those rough areas in your life. Those areas that are robbing us of our spiritual growth and weakening our foundation. We have to learn to be obedient, because when the storm comes, you won't have time to ask, what should I do? We need to know what to do when trouble comes. So knowing this, brethren, Why don't more people build on the rock instead of sand? Why? Well, there are several reasons, and I'll share a few with you. One reason is people are lazy. You see, it could be very appealing to build on sand. It could be a good location. It could be adequate. It could be easy. I mean, who wants to dig down deep to bedrock if you don't have to? It takes more work to build on the rock. It takes more time and energy, and it costs more. It's easier and faster to build on sand. It's easier to just take shortcuts in building a home. Because for a while, no one may notice. But somewhere, brethren, somewhere along the line, you will pay for shoddy workmanship. Your spiritual life, my spiritual life, is subject to the same shortcomings. It's easier to go with the crowd. It takes less time and energy. If you just maintain a superficial faith, most people, most of the time, can't tell the difference. It's easier to just show up for church instead of working to develop spiritual roots. It's easier to talk about sharing your faith rather than building bridges with others. It's easier to talk about commitment rather than to be committed. And the bottom line is, people get lazy. People take life. People take God for granted. Another reason is, people are short-sighted. They don't see beyond the present. They give no thought to what is ahead. They live for the moment. They fail to see that being prepared for eternity and having a solid relationship with God makes it possible to enjoy this present life. People are short-sighted. Another reason is people are naive. They believe they will never have to deal with a crisis or a tragedy, a loss. People are naive. The parable of the two houses is a simple and straightforward parable that teaches if you build your foundation on God's word, you will be able to survive anything. Now that sounds a bit trite. I get that. But I believe it. I believe everyone in here believe it. If your foundation is built on faith and trust in God, God will get you through some of the toughest storms in your life if you believe. In closing, brethren, maybe a storm is waging havoc in your life right now. Maybe you've discovered that your relationship with God is weak. If that's your honest assessment, brethren, if your foundation with God is weak, then it's time to immerse yourself in God's word. It's time to place your confidence in His loving hands. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not going to be easy. It's going to take time. But God is merciful and faithful. Today we understand that life is like building a house. Brethren, we are building a house right now. A house for eternity. And by the grace of God and through the Spirit of God, we're building on His foundation. Let's go to the book of Corinthians, my last scripture in closing. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, and let's begin reading in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, it reads, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." Brethren, the lesson we can take away from this message is this. The best way to deal with a crisis or a fall is to take the necessary precautions ahead of time. The best way to prepare for the inevitable storm, because they will hit each and every one of us, is to build your life on the rock, the Word of God. Because Jesus Christ has laid the foundation. He paved the way. The question is, are we building on His foundation?